one of the things we talk about a decent amount is the things that take place when nobody's looking, or maybe not as many people are looking, that in some cases the most important. You know, the show is, yeah, man, that's pre-planned. It's practiced. It's rehearsed. There's still moments of spontaneity, but for the most part, every show is similar. It's people that make it different. But I think it's what takes place in the back halls. Those are the most important, I think, interactions that take place, because I think that represents what's taking place in your soul. It's the invisible things. I mean, scripture talks about it. It's the invisible things that are actually the most important. For a lot of us, we actually go the other direction. It's the things that are seen, you know, that we think are the most important. That's not what I've encountered. It's the invisible.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. If you haven't already, make sure that you are subscribed, you follow, whatever that looks like on your favorite podcast platform. So that way you know when we release new episodes with either your favorite artist or your new favorite artist. That voice that you just heard was Luke Smallbone, one of the two Smallbone brothers that lead the band for King Country. And I know their music has impacted just so many of us, and that's evidenced by their faces being plastered on billboards and semi-trucks full of equipment as they fly across the country. One of the things I love about these guys, and one of the things I love about Christian music, is that the mission is still the same. It's about connecting with people. And every time I get to connect with these guys, it's always a blast. There's always a story to be told. And I'm just excited to share this conversation with Luke with you guys as we share old stories and as we tell new stories. We're here with Luke with For King and Country. Luke, I know you guys are going crazy. You guys are on a world tour, album release. Just really appreciate you taking the time out to chat with us here.
No worries, man. It's a pleasure. Always good to catch up.
Speaking of the tour, I actually saw you just this past weekend as we're recording this here in Pittsburgh. You guys are on the What Are You Waiting For world tour, running across all the country. And I'm assuming there's something that alludes to the world tour. Where are you guys going internationally?
Well, I think it's yet to be determined. I mean, I think that obviously we usually work in kind of 3-year segments. Every album kind of comes out every 3 years. And there's obviously songs along the way. But so 3 years is a long time. What we've always ventured to try and be people that, you know, are going overseas. And music is made for all people, not just the Western world. And so, you know, we're going to try and get out of the country whenever we can. But there's unique things taking place in the world right now, so it makes it a little bit challenging. But we hope to do it just as soon as possible.
The show that I got to see this last Sunday, absolutely nothing was special about that concert at all. Oh, wait. One of the things that was super cool that I haven't seen in a super long time was there's actually a proposal at that show.
That's right. Yeah, no, look, we're always trying to make shows as personal and special as possible. And obviously, this was a special moment where there's a loose friend of ours who we knew through some mutual friends who said, hey, I'd love to be able to propose to my girlfriend at your show. And so we were able to facilitate that. And the crowd always loves those types of opportunities. And so it was a pretty memorable moment, to say the least.
I've actually known Akila as well for a little while through volunteering with the Air One radio station for the local affiliate here. It was cool to reconnect with him. I flew up from Dallas to Pittsburgh for other reasons, happened to be able to catch a couple of shows while I was up there. To be able to reconnect with him and then also see his proposal on stage at a For King Country concert was just so much fun.
Oh, man. It was a joy to see the smile on his face, that's for sure.
And of course, Joel was hamming it up pretty well too.
Yeah, man, I think he's a natural. He should get into marriage proposals for a living, I think, you know, because it seems to come naturally for him. So yeah, he always enjoys that.
Well, it kind of brings me to kind of where I was wanting to head next. There's a special moment that Joel did for us. My goodness, it's been 3 years ago now already. It was in May of 2019. But I don't know if you remember this at all.
I do remember signing a baseball.
Yeah. So this was this, we'll put a picture of this as we publish this episode.
Yeah.
But this was 2019. You guys were playing the ballpark in Arlington that day.
Yep.
which yeah. I actually ran across that vlog that you guys had on YouTube. It just showed up in my list not long ago. It's like, I remember that. That was so much fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look, anytime you could get outside and do shows, different experiences. So getting to do a ballpark, that's a lot of fun. That's pretty cool.
I mean, how often do you get to watch a For King Country concert from the infield of a Major League Baseball stadium? I mean, come on.
I know we don't do many of them. So if you've done one, yeah, you wanted a few. Yeah, we're probably done, you know, 4 or 5 in our career or so. So yeah, not a ton. We should probably do more.
I'm in for that. You guys got to come back to our new field here that we built a couple of years ago. And
we played the parking lot. They wouldn't allow us into the venue, but we did play the parking lot at our drive-in show a while ago.
Yeah, we'll inch closer to the field here as it goes.
That's
on.
Right. That's right.
But we were doing a video interview with Joel that day, and we had just found out that we were pregnant like a few days earlier. And so part of our story is we've had miscarriages in between our oldest, who is the biggest For King Country fan I know. There's 3 miscarriages between her and this pregnancy. And we're in there like, should we ask Joel or not? Should we do this? You can't get told no unless you ask, right? We told him a little bit of our story and why this was kind of a moment. And we're like, you know, we're either going to get to use this or it's a fun special memory. And Joel hammed that up completely. He grabbed the mic and was also eager to do that. That was just such a special moment for us. Like I said, whether or not we got to use that or not, we didn't know, but still watching him do that was just very special. So to see him do the marriage proposal for Akila on stage just reminded me of that. And it really just goes to show the impact that you guys have off stage as well, not just on stage. And the music is always excellent. The shows are always amazing, but you have this impact for people as soon as you step off the stage as well.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, I think that one of the things we talk about a decent amount is the things that take place when nobody's looking, or maybe not as many people are looking, that in some cases the most important. You know, the show is, you know, man, that's pre-planned. It's practiced. It's rehearsed. There's still moments of spontaneity, but for the most part, every show is similar. It's people that make it different. But I think it's what takes place in the back halls. Those are the most important, I think, interactions that take place, because I think that represents what's taking place in your soul. It's the invisible things. I mean, scripture talks about it. It's the invisible things that are actually the most important. For a lot of us, we actually go the other direction. It's the things that are seen, you know, that we think are the most important. That's not what I've encountered. It's the invisible.
So what was cool, something happened on St. Patrick's Day. You guys had a very special St. Patrick's Day. I have not seen this happen in years, even pre-COVID. You guys did a CD signing at a bookstore. We waited in line for hours, and 2 hours, I'm being dramatic. But I have not seen that in just so long, and that was just so cool to see you guys be able to do something like that, number one, after COVID, but just kind of a throwback. That's how I met Point of Grace back in the day, some of the artists, you know, back in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was just really cool to see you guys do some just this fun event here in North Texas.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that, you know, CDs have kind of become nostalgic and you know, probably more keepsakes now. You know, it's a way for us to be able to meet people and be able to look into people's eyes and to see who they are. And so it was, it's not something that people are doing much anymore, which I don't know why. I mean, there's a lot of people there. So it's like, people should do more of these, you know? But it was special. It was a special way to launch the project. It was special to meet so many people. I mean, those were the first meet and greets we've done since the pandemic started. So, you know, you're really talking about a couple of years since we've done something like that.
What was cool for us, you know, my daughter, the biggest For King Country fan, we didn't tell her that we were coming. We just said, hey, we got to go do something. And we showed up at the bookstore. All the posters were there. And by the time we got there, like, if you figured out what's going on, she's like, yeah, I did. She was super stoked. But part of the gag that Joel did when he did our pregnancy announcement was, for doing this, you've got to name the baby after me. The funny side of that is we love the 2-letter middle names. So we named her Kinley Joe. And after we named her, we're like, did we just fulfill Joel's request? Like, I think we did. I think we kind of named her.
You may have. Maybe Joel was a prophet. You know, who knows? You know, you may have done it.
I don't know because it was so moving so quick. I don't know if it all kind of sunk in or not, but he actually got to meet his namesake. Well, we'll just say it's his namesake.
That's right.
So after all that time, we actually got to get some pictures with Joel and Kinley, and then reconnecting with you and, you know, my daughter, and getting to just spend a quick couple of minutes as we're going through getting the CD signed. And it's just really cool to see that those moments are coming back. Just something as simple as a CD signing at a bookstore. I don't know how many other encounters that you had after we left in the middle of all that, but it's just so cool that those moments are kind of starting to come back.
I agree.
And so one of the things in an interview that we did in 2018, as you're launching Burn the Ships, you're talking about how these things are awesome. You hear the masters, you feel accomplished, but the real power is when these songs become people's stories. The people who are listening, it becomes their stories. When we were at that interview at the ballpark, that's when it really hit me, because we're at that moment of, we had no idea if this was going to be a viable pregnancy. We didn't know if we're going to be walking through loss or joy at that moment. And we walked out. I had Fight on Fighter running through my head as soon as we were walking out of that suite. My wife was walking out with the song Shoulders in her head. This is all on your shoulders, God. And that's when it really, really hit me, what you were talking about way back in that interview then. It just hit so super hard right then. When we did the podcast episode about a year ago, you were starting on this project here. You were in the process of recording, writing What Are You Waiting For? It was, you know, for King Country 4, album 4 at that point in time. I just want to hear a little bit about what are the stories that went into this album, and what do you think are going to be the people's stories that's going to become part of people's lives from this album here now that it's out?
Yeah, well, I mean, this album was made for the first time really at home because of the pandemic. You know, we were home for the entire project, which was a real gift. You know, we kind of treated it like a job. We'd get up and be in the studio 10 and work till 5-ish, you know, pretty much every day. And I think that that demands a different level of intentionality, which I think was really helpful. You know, the album is really it's a global album. It's written, there's a lot of songs on there written about what we're going through as a globe. It's a very family-oriented album, and a lot of songs written about family. And it's a very spiritual album. Those three themes are really the themes that this album was kind of written about. You know, the pandemic, there's a lot to write about because of that. And the pandemic really produced a lot of opportunities to learn things. And I don't think we want to just go back to the normal. I think we want to create a new normal as we go forward, because there's a lot of things that we've walked through that we want to take with us. And I think this album is kind of like that. It's been written about a lot of things that we've all walked through, and hopefully it can be the soundtrack to people's stories and lives as they kind of come out of this this crazy thing, this pandemic we've all walked through.
And one of the songs that I'm really loving from this is Unity, that you collaborated with Dante Bowe on. I've really loved what's come from Dante, and then I love this collaboration that you guys got to do with him. And, you know, I love what you're saying about things becoming the new normal and stuff we've learned. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things that's happened over the last couple of years, that is one of the biggest messages that we really need to hear and really embrace as Christians right now.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, we're fragmented people. You know, I heard someone ask me the other day, hey, you know, you guys are writing about a lot of social issues. You know, are you going to get flack for that? And I said, man, social issues are just personal issues multiplied. If you're not writing about social issues, you're not writing about people, because people are the ones who make social issues. You know, and so for us, man, it's no joke that it's not been easy in a country like America when it comes to our racial division, our political division. And I think that people think that the only way you can have unity is if you agree with each other. And I don't think that's actually true. I mean, in some cases, the greatest unity you can have is with people that come at things at a different angle. And when you are still resolute in your friendship and your love for one another, that's what unity is. Unity isn't that you all think the same thing, that you all look the same way, and that you all do the same things. That's uniformity. I'm not too much in for uniformity, but I am into unity.
We see that a lot with, you know, our marriages as well. And I think I've heard it said that the conflict breeds, what was the quote? I was going to sound smart for a second, but conflict breeds a deeper connection. Being able to disagree, being able to get through ideas, being able to really work through things really breeds a deeper level of relationship than just agreeing and everything being all hunky-dory all the time.
Yeah. I mean, man, without, disagreement, you have no reason to reconcile. And it's in reconciliation that you have greater intimacy in friendship, in marriage, in life. Reconciliation is something that's very, very powerful. And I think that's part of the reason why, even spiritually speaking, the reconciliation with God is so powerful, is because when you've walked through things and you've wronged somebody and you're forgiven despite your misdeeds, your mistakes, that demands a response. You know, it demands gratefulness. And I think that breeds something quite beautiful.
So as you guys were writing this, there was various states of lockdowns. There was various states of restrictions. I know you guys went to Florida quite a bit to just unplug and just focus on this. What were the songs that kind of took you guys the longest, that were the most impactful? What are the songs that hit you guys the hardest off this album?
Well, there's a couple of songs on there. I mean, For God Is With Us is an interesting one, because it was originally written as a Christmas song, and it just didn't quite feel Christmassy enough. So we decided not to release that on the Christmas album. And it was difficult to take out of Christmas land. And so that song, we probably was one that we spent a pretty good amount of time on trying to crack the code on. I mean, songs are like puzzles. I mean, you can eventually figure them out if you give it enough time. It just depends if you're going to give it enough time, and if you have enough commitment to really making it incredible. You know, so that's a special song. Unsung Hero, just written about our parents, is a really sweet, powerful moment. Cheering You On is another one about a conversation that I had with my son that's very, very special. I mean, our hope is to write songs that mean something to us personally the entire album. Everybody's still going to have their few favorites, because that's just the way music works. Everybody still has their few favorite Beatles songs, but yeah, the Beatles are the greatest band probably to ever walk the planet, right? So that's our hope, is to make these songs real to us, and hopefully then in return they become real to you.
You mentioned Unsung Hero. That one, I love what you guys do on the show, and I don't know if I'm giving away too many spoilers about this show, the tour that you guys are on, but that was like super powerful when you guys just sit at the end of the stage and just bring that moment completely down. That was just super special to see you guys bring that down in the middle of this high energy, really jamming show. I'm not going to say I teared up a little bit, but it was starting to get a little bit of foggy. It was starting to get a little foggy.
That's right.
In my seat.
Yeah, look, it's an emotional song. You talk about people, you know, they're the ones who gave us, in some cases, they gave us the space to do the things that we're doing now. And they championed when nobody else does. And that's what's interesting about people that go on and do something is you have people that notice a talent or notice something in you and say, you should develop this. Every child is like a blank page. And there's a few conversations as parents that can turn these kids several different directions. And I think for us, we're very, very grateful that for our parents, they, for the most part, always turned us in the right direction. That's something that we're forever indebted to them for.
That just reminded me, I figured that we should probably stop for just a quick second and mention that your mom just released a book recently.
That's right. Yep. She released a book called Behind the Lights. Comes out in 5 days. She's kind of an introvert, not somebody that usually is going to be someone out and about, but certainly proud of her and the fact that she's been able to write this book.
And so your dad is, I believe, your tour manager as well. Or no,
chief manager. Tour manager. Yeah, manager.
But your dad's on road with you guys quite a bit. And it's just so cool to be able to see your whole family get involved. I was thinking, as we're getting this scheduled and everything, since we spoke about a year ago, I think I've had the chance to meet a bit more of your family. We did an episode with your sister, Rebecca, a while ago. We did an episode with your sister-in-law, Mariah, a little while ago as well. And it's just so incredible to see the blessing that's on your guys' family. Just incredible to see how that's rippled around you guys as well.
Oh, well, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, man, it's been, they're all dearly loved, great people. Very grateful to have them in my life.
So I figure we should wrap up the episode with a little bit of sappy dad moment, because I'm full on dad. That's just how I roll. We're talking about my daughter being the biggest For King Country fan. One of her favorite shirts was I can't even remember how long ago we got it. It was a Fix My Eyes shirt. We bought it big at the show because we wanted her to have it for a while. And I'd say in the last either 5 or 6 months, she finally outgrew it. That was kind of like that sad moment of dang it, my kid's getting too old. You know, just watching her grow up and just be a huge freaking country fan, letting you guys speak into her life, you know, the message of priceless, just who you, and who you guys are. Like, we're talking about you guys, who you are as soon as you step off stage as well. It's just been so incredible for me to watch her, let you guys be a huge influence in her life and outgrow t-shirts because she's been a fan for so long.
That's special, man. I appreciate you saying that, Jake. It's very, very special.
Where I wanted to go with the sappy dad moment is just to, I don't know how many shows you do. It seems like you're on the road every day. In your promo package, you know, your son has gotten to be a part of the shows. Actually, your son was a part of our last interview. He popped in for a moment. Just want to hear about being able to spend the time over the last couple of years and just being able to spend those moments. You have four kids, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. When you're a parent, if you're always waiting for perfect opportunities to bring your kids along to, you'll probably never find them. Being a parent is one of the greatest gifts of all time. But I think that the challenge for us as parents is to make sure that we're giving our kids the time and attention that they deserve. And so one of the things that we do is we bring out the kids, rotate them basically all the way around, especially the older ones. And that's the way that we get a lot of one-on-one time. I got my oldest boy out with me today. And it'd be a big shame if when this is all done, my kids, you know, we go out and do ministry, we go out and do a lot of work, and they resent their father for it. First and foremost, God gave these kids to Courtney and I for a specific purpose. It's easy to forget that he could have put them in any family, but he put them in ours. And so that means he put them in ours for a reason. It was intentional. And it's our job to kind of do what my parents did with us. You know, they taught me how to love people. They taught me what it meant to follow Jesus. They taught me what it looked like to, when you fail, to ask for forgiveness. It taught me all of the valuable things that nobody, in some cases, you know, sees. Those are the things that we are entrusted to do with our kids. And man, it's one of my great delights. I love doing it. Love doing it with my wife. You know, I think that there's no reason why they couldn't go on and do far, far crazier things than what we've ever been able to do.
Yeah. Hopefully at some point there's a spot on stage for the boys being able to jam out with their dad and uncle. I don't know if you're going to have to kick off Teddy or who you're going to have to kick out of the band to do it, but I think they're going to
be never know. Naturals. You never know.
Well, Luke, just really appreciate you taking the time for this conversation here. And always, man, it's just a great pleasure to talk with you guys.
Thanks, Jake. Appreciate you, man. All the best.